I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
No stronger.
Holy hour of power. Three Catholics with a PhD in common sense. High energy Catholic radio. Our program is not right versus left. It is right versus wrong.
Amen.
And this is what I call, Terry.
Yes.
UFC Catholicism. Ultimate faithful Catholics. We got a special guest. Amen. On Father Dave Nix. Welcome to the TJ Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, you guys.
Father's leaving this afternoon to go back to Denver. And we're just honored to have him here. He was on Jesus 911 earlier. So, Father, I just wanted to, we're going to get some soul food in, but I want to tease everybody. I want them to understand some power in regards to the priesthood, that how you became a priest. I think the Reader's Digest version, because I think it's so inspirational how Padre Pio had a play in that. But that's the teaser. Jess, what did St. Irenaeus say about Scripture? Ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ? St. Jerome says ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Of Christ.
So why don't we open up our Bibles, brother, and let's read that gospel from today.
Yeah, real quick, and then because I want to go to Father Dave next. I want to give him the lion's share of the program. Today's gospel at Daily Mass was Luke chapter 10, verse 25 to 37 in the Novus Ordo, right? It says, there was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice he didn't say, you got to accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. Jesus didn't say that, okay? Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law, how do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, it sounds like a Pelagian to me, okay? He wants to save himself. He said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest," by the way, that's a Levite, not a Catholic priest. "A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed on the opposite side. But a Samaritan," by the way, these were Jewish half-breeds. That's why they were hated by the Israelites. "But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds and bandaged him. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instructions, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Father, give us an analysis of that real quick from a priestly point of view.
It sits right in well for us.
Well, first of all, I was offended that you used the word half-breed, Jesse. I just want to let you
I triggered Father.
Yeah, I'm triggered.
Can have a meltdown now.
Yeah. I read a really good article at Remnant Magazine called The Great Inversion, and it really describes how everything that we see as a crisis in the church right now basically comes to the inversion of the first great commandment and the second great commandment. And I keep noticing that almost every sin that's justified in the church today really comes down to placing love of man before love of God. And it's so basic what we have right there that the first great commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second is to love your neighbors yourself. Sure. And not to be quoting like Reagan's trickle-down economics or anything, but there is a trickle-down when we put God first. It trickles down in the second. But if we just only aim at loving neighbor, it doesn't trickle up to the first. So the whole key is to first love God with our whole heart, soul, strength, and mind, and then that trickles down. It doesn't trickle. It overflows into love of neighbor, right? And so this is where I just think about that so often, that the basics is extremely important for... There we go.
In other words, Father, socialism never trickles up to the worship of God.
Yeah, and I think at the theological level, we often hear this word pastoral. Great, I love the term pastoral. We should be pastoral, but it can never justify sin. We can never justify sin through
compromise.
Just being, yeah, compromise. That's exactly right. Father Grishel would say that. Jesus never compromised. So God always has to come first in our decisions, love of God, and then we notice that love of neighbor. We were talking about Padre Pio earlier. This is a great example because he would read someone's heart in the confessional, see that they weren't sorry, get mad at them, send them off. They go away crying, but 95% of them came back. Why is that? Because it's like God is saying to Padre Pio, if you take care of my will, which is to make sure the sacraments aren't being made a mockery of, and that would include trying to make a confession without full resolution of amendment, I'll take care of your desire for this person to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and in a secondary way, a disciple of Padre Pio. So when we put God first in like honoring God in the sacraments and making sure that that's happens, God's the only one who can give someone supernatural gift of faith, which he gives to the person. So we have to put the glory and honor of God first, and then he's the only one who can give supernatural faith to someone else.
Father,
give me a reflection. Today's a feast day of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary.
Yep.
What can you tell us as a priest? How important is the rosary?
And that's all he talks about is the rosary.
Yeah, I have a listener in my podcast. He's like, I hear everything you're saying about the reforms we need in the church, but your only answer is rosary. That's all you've given me. I pray the rosary. That's your only answer. I was like, that's all I got. I feel like a primary care physician in a strip mall handing out antibiotics that only has one medicine, and it's just the rosary. But really, that's it.
Yeah,
it is the number one weapon, and I think. St. Louis de Montfort said at the end ages it would be even more powerful, you know. And I'm cutting in and out, just so you know.
Yeah, Father, tell me a little bit about, I heard you had mentioned before that, you know, some people say I can only do a decade, mm-hmm. then some will do a rosary, a daily rosary, but then there's the old school. You're saying, hey, give God a whole hour and do all four mysteries of the rosary. Tell us the difference and stuff. Why it's important to try to immerse yourself in the meditation of the life of Christ.
Yeah.
Through the rosary.
So the old school way to say a whole rosary was actually 15 decades. So, you know, all that was what was given by Our Lady to Dominic. And that's why if you look at Franciscan or Dominican beads, they have 15 on them. And some of the more new orders have 20 for the luminous mysteries. But the original one that was given was 150. And this was in replacement of the 100, because, you know, if you look at the old Irish monks, they would be up to their chest in ice cold water every day, did all 150 psalms a day in the old school monks. Now, in the old divine office that was valid, and it's still valid now because Pope Benedict gave some more in Pontificum, so we can pray the traditional divine office. So I do usually most days the 1960 divine office, which is all 150 psalms a week.
Wow.
But then the Liturgy of the Hours, the new one that came out of Vatican II, it's about 140, you don't even get all 150, about 140 psalms a month. But the old school monks are doing 150 psalms a day. Well, lay people couldn't do that. So what replaced it? 150 Hail Marys a day. So this was seen as the whole life of Scripture being lived out with 150 Hail Marys. And so, you know, one of the things, too, is it doesn't have to be prayed, and I hope I'm not heretical in saying this. I'm certainly open to correction, but you can do maybe the first 5 decades on your knees in the morning, and then another 5 decades on an elliptical machine, another 5 days, 5 decades picking up your kids from work. I mean, we have so much like kind of filler time in our days that it's really not hard to get in 15 decades if you're willing to do it on the go.
Talking about the rosary today at Holy Mass that you celebrated, or was it yesterday, you talked about the rosary and a bishop from Africa that Father Don Calloway told the story here on Virgin Most Powerful, but can you share that story you told us?
Yeah, I told it like 2 hours ago. You want me to say it again?
Was it just 2 hours ago?
Yeah, oh yeah. No, well, both at Mass with you and with Jesse.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
But I'll say it again. No, I mean, I would say the quick version is that there was a bishop in Africa, I think it was Nigeria.
In Nigeria, yep.
He saw how many of the Christian girls, Catholic girls in Nigeria were being kidnapped by Boko Haram. It's a cousin agency of ISIS.
Sure.
This happened about 3 years ago. And he was praying and praying and praying, how can I defeat them? And Jesus appeared to him, handed him a sword. And as soon as he took that sword, it turned into a rosary. And he understood the rosary was going to defeat Boko Haram. And so he got the entire diocese praying the rosary. And soon enough, Boko Haram essentially dissipated. At least their power was greatly reduced. So we see that the rosary isn't just for spiritual battles, but it also even takes care of physical enemies.
Interesting. Father, we're going to ask, and when we come back from the break, about your own vocation and how Padre Pio played a role in that. But I want to bring Bishop Sheen into the room right now. That choo-choo train could come. Full Sheen ahead. It fits in really what you were saying about the first and second commandment. Mm-hmm. Bishop Sheen said, if you do not live what you believe, you will end up believing what you live.
That's right.
And I see that today.
Totally.
Isn't that true?
It's so true. Yep.
So, Jess, your thoughts?
Well, you know what? I can't wait till we get Father's analysis. We're going to be talking about what happened this weekend.
Yeah.
There were seven lay Catholics. Remember seven or eight lay Catholics that were over in Rome? And they were talking about they were giving us basically warnings about the Amazon Synod, some of their concerns. And I know three of these guys very good, John Henry Weston, Taylor Marshall, and Michael Voris. They're personal friends of mine. I don't know the other ones, but I know of them, Michael Matt and Robert DiMattea, Jose Ureta. So it's going to be interesting. I just want to get Father's take. We're going to be talking about this. And I think this is a time for us as Catholics to bump up our prayer life, bump up our sacramental life, and realize that, as Sister Lucia said, the final battle that will be upon the church will be upon marriage and family.
That's
and
right.
I see this as symptomatic of that battle.
That's right.
And remember what Saint Pope Gregory the Great said. It is better that scandals be exposed than for the truth to be suppressed. And when we come back, talk about the truth coming out. We're going to talk about Padre Pio and how Father Dave's vocation was saved. I mean saved through the intercession of Padre Pio. You won't want to miss that. Get yourself a cup of coffee, some tea. And when we come back, we'll inspire you with the story of Father Dave. And then we'll talk more about what you can do to help Holy Mother, the Church. Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle, and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show, and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the Mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on-fire Catholic, and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Our program's rated PG, praise God. We got Father Dave next who wants to share with us. He's a priest from the Diocese of Denver, Colorado. He's a good friend of the show. And he's one of Terry. He's one of those super high information Catholics.
Sure.
And we want to ask him how Padre Pio has affected his priesthood.
Yeah, I really got into him even before I was in seminary. And I've never been in debt, but I was in debt for $60,000 for Boston College.
What did you do? Oh, yeah, schooling.
Exactly,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. Now my alma's over $60,000 a year.
Yeah.
It's $65,70 just to go to BC for a year. And but that was my alma. I was pre-med out there, and then I worked as an EMT and a paramedic, trying to dial down these loans.
Sure.
I graduated $60,000 in debt.
Oh, yeah.
But I was only paying really the interest as a paramedic on a paramedic salary. So I ended up working for Focus, and Focus let me actually, at the end of those 2 years, ask my donors for money. So I met with Archbishop Chaput, and he said, you can come into seminary.
Good.
If you get your loans down to $20,000. So I was like, sweet. So I was supposed to enter seminary August of 2006. 2006, I was supposed to enter. I was pretty pumped about this. There was actually a young woman, and we had talked about getting married. We were kind of in love, and I was transparent with the seminary that I still felt called to be a priest at this point. Well, regardless of that, it really had nothing to do with it. About 4 weeks before seminary started, the seminary called and said, we're not taking you with any loans. And I said, oh, well, Archbishop Chaput told me $20,000. The seminary said, we're taking you with zero.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, no. So I thought, well, I guess this is my sign to get married. And so last minute, I decided, okay, $20,000 in 4 weeks before seminary starts, I'll just do a novena to Padre Pio. So
good
I did
idea.
A novena to Padre Pio, 9 days long. Somehow at the end of 9 days, just $20,000 came in, and I entered seminary debt-free.
Praise God.
That very summer. So it was August of 2006 that I actually entered seminary. So I kind of said to Pio, I'll be happy to marry her if this isn't the plan. That's fine. But he wanted me in seminary.
And Father, I know I want to wait to the last of the show, but we might not get there. I want you to talk about, and then we'll get into the issues of the problems in the church.
Yeah.
This is so inspirational. As a priest for what now, 10 years?
9 years, yeah.
9 years,
mm-hmm.
Excuse me, 9 years. What's been your most exciting, most rewarding day in the priesthood?
Yeah, we had a beautiful hike over Terry's house, overlooking Los Angeles, and he has a lot better war stories than me. So it was, I think he had several that I was impressed with, and I told him, just this was the best day of my priesthood, was, and it's really not as inspirational as the things you guys had seen. But I was on loan to a diocese in Louisiana, mm-hmm. but I would go to New Orleans for pro-life work, and there was a gal entering the abortion center at one point, and I could tell she didn't really want to go in there. Really beautiful African-American girl. I said, you don't look like you want to go in there. She goes, I don't know. I said, you want to come to lunch? She's like, or breakfast. It was early in the morning. I was like, would you come get breakfast with me? She's like, yeah, sure.
And, so, and another woman.
And so I said, Cammy, she was about a 65, 7-year-old woman. I said, Cammy, come on out to breakfast with it. Because I just got done saying on Jesse's things, we got to be careful with those things. So Cammy and this gal come out. We go out to breakfast. She agrees to get the ultrasound. We drive her to the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Metairie. Has a Blessed Sacrament there. We pray there.
Beautiful.
CPC wants us to kind of take off. I joke that crisis pregnancy centers are like emergency department physicians, and we sidewalk counselors are like grizzled paramedics. So they take them in, and then they're like, okay, now get out of here because we don't want your type around us.
Job.
So we were ready to take off after the ultrasound, and I said to Cammy, let's go get some lunch. Well, the young woman heard me say that and kind of looked at me like, are you going to invite me? And I'm like, oh, you want to come? And she's like, yeah, I guess. So yeah, that'd be great. So she comes to lunch with us. We spend the whole day together. She decides to keep the baby.
Praise God.
And baby was born safely a couple years ago. Beautiful, beautiful baby boy.
That's awesome.
The same day, I had to drive Cammy back to, we were actually counseling in the ghetto of New Orleans. We get on I-10, same I-10 mm-hmm. that runs through Los Angeles right here.
Yep.
And it's a real busy day there in New Orleans. It's rush hour. It's just rush hour traffic starting. And you know this, Jesse, from being a cop. When you're just at the crest of the wave of an accident and like all the cars are just stopping, I was just at the crest of this wave of all these cars slamming their brakes on. And as an ex-paramedic, I knew something bad had just happened. So I just jacked the car over at 40 miles an hour in front of all this to the shoulder. And Cammy said, what are you doing? I was like, just stay here. So I grabbed my latex gloves. I look back. There is a downed teenager in I-10. So we're talking 65 mile an hour accident. Yeah. And I look back. All the traffic stopped around him. There's hundreds and hundreds of cars behind him. people are coming out to tell me what happened. I jump out in my cassock with latex gloves.
Picture this.
And I'm in the middle of I-10, and he's bleeding, unresponsive right there. But he's got his helmet on.
Yeah.
He just starts to come awake as I'm doing this, so I have to make a decision to either compromise his C-spine and move him to the Jersey barrier off for the safety of not getting hit by cars, or I can do technically the right thing, leave him there for his C-spine till EMS. But there's thousands of cars, and I decide to make a last-minute audible to move him. So I move him to the Jersey barrier and get the helmet off of him. He just starts to come awake. I do a full, blood sweep and everything, find probably a broken pelvis on him. And later I actually was able to bump up the triage for him because I don't think the medics found that. And I really prioritized getting him taken to a trauma center because of the pelvis. But anyway, doing the blood sweep with the latex gloves on, he's up against the barrier. People will tell me what happens. I'm doing the medical and stuff. And he starts to come too.
Yeah.
And I go, "Are you Catholic?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, I go, "You want to go to confession?"
I love it.
He goes, "Yeah, I do."
Great.
So I send everybody away, and all you can hear is just total silence on I-10, real distant sirens, and this guy's bleeding, teenager's bleeding against the Jersey barrier with a broken pelvis, and wow. Everyone respectfully leaves.
Wow.
Nobody stays
That's
around.
Awesome.
All the people who are telling me what happened,
yeah.
They all leave, and I'll never forget this. You guys love Fulton Sheen. You know how Fulton
Amen.
Sheen is every time the priest gives you absolution, you see the precious blood of
Jesus. Yes.
I lifted my hand with the latex glove. Now, this wasn't Jesus' blood. It was his blood.
Yeah.
But I thought of Fulton Sheen's line because when I gave him absolution, I saw blood all over my hands on these latex gloves. And I thought of Sheen's line that this is the blood of Jesus covering this guy.
That's a powerful witness. And thank you for saying yes to Jesus regarding your priesthood. I'm sure that young man says thanks too, Father.
I hope so.
Wow. Okay, Jess, I had to get that in because that's a powerful witness of what the priesthood can do for the salvation of souls.
Amen. That's I'm telling you, Terry, that we as Catholics, we're blessed that we do have the priesthood, and this is why the devil's going after them with a vengeance.
That's right.
Because these guys are God's SWAT team.
Yep.
This is God's Navy SEALs. And again, without priests, no Eucharist. Having said that, let's kind of switch gears. This weekend, there was a big meeting with a bunch of lay Catholic leaders over in Rome, and they were warning all the faithful around the world about the Amazon Synod. And there's several people that were there, and we know a lot of them, Terry. You probably know more than I do.
No, I'm just good friends.
It was a roundtable discussion, and they called this meeting, "Our Church Reformed or Deformed?" And it was hosted by the International Pro-Life Association, Voice of the Family. A lot of people were taking a look at this over the internet.
Yep.
And here's some of the people that were there and some of the things that they had to say. John Henry Weston was there.
Right.
He's the co-founder and editor-in-chief of LifeSite News. He says, "We have arrived this week. The Amazonian Synod will be underway. It's expected to be the most severe calamity for the faith the church has ever known. And let's pray that it won't turn out as dire as it threatens." He also said a few cardinals have warned of apostasy and heresy in the working document prepared for the synod, but most have remained silent. He also said, "We the faithful cannot remain silent because it is the faith of our children that's being threatened. It is our rights as Catholics to have the faith of Jesus Christ handed down faithfully by our priests and bishops and especially the Pope." I see these seven men and this one woman. They're doing exactly what Venerable Fulton Sheen said. Who's going to save the church? He said the laity.
Actually, yep.
You got Professor Roberto Di Matteo, one of the most respected historians in the Catholic world. He says, "There are at this moment two religions within the Catholic Church."
Right.
"The first is the traditional Catholicism, the religion of those who in the current confusion continue to be faithful to the immutable magisterium of the church. The second, until a few months ago without a name, now has a name. It's the Amazonian religion because it's declared by the person currently governing the church. There's a plan to give the church an Amazonian face." And he said, "Two religions cannot coexist within the same church." By the way, I read over the weekend an article by Father Ripperger. He says the same thing, pretty much word for word, of what Professor Roberto Di Matteo says. Terry, you
want
to read what
says? Yeah, I just want to back up one thing too, Jesse. What these gentlemen, these laymen are saying. It's interesting that Archbishop Viganò, who last week we were talking about so much, just last night he came out and he warned against silence of reckless pastors who fear losing human favor. Basically, he's saying that not to hide in silence, but to speak out against the wolves and the worldly powers that are threatening Christ's flock. That's what these young men, actually these laymen, are doing right now. And Archbishop Vigano is trying to encourage priests, cardinals, popes, all the people who are in responsible positions to stop being silent about it. Let's call it for what it is.
That's right.
Your thoughts,
Terry? We should have seen seven cardinals or bishops.
Of course we should have, but
doing this, and instead you're seeing seven laymen, most of them from the U.S.
Of course.
And again, this is the prophecy of Fulton Sheena, who's going to save the church.
But I'm going to be honest with you, okay? And this, I got a priest in front of me, and I'm going to say this. Jesse, if you were a priest or if I was a priest,
our faculties would be taken
away. So I have to give them that
you're right.
They're going to take a big sacrifice. They can't shut us up because we're lay people.
Remember, Jesse read the gospel at the beginning, and we talked about the first great commandment and the second great commandment, right? Mm-hmm. What we learn in Catholic Moral Theology 101 is the end doesn't justify the means.
Well said.
Now, we understand that usually for sins of commission.
Yeah.
What if we applied that to sins of omission?
Uh-huh.
So you hear bishops say things like, well, I would speak up, but then what happens? Then I get canned, and you guys wouldn't have me, this wonderful bishop,
wrong,
over you guys. No. I mean, do you think maybe someone besides Peter pulled Jesus aside and was like, I mean, you keep talking down to the Pharisees, but you got a good thing going. You got teaching that's just ringing people to Yahweh. You're doing miracles. You're raising the dead. Why don't you just tone it down a bit with the Pharisees? Because these guys are going to have you crucified, like literally crucified.
Yeah.
But what is the reality? The reality is we must do the right thing regardless of circumstances.
That's right.
That's what it means to put the first great commandment ahead of the second great commandment. We must do the right thing regardless of circumstances. And so this is why this whole thing, well, I might get canned, I could lose my faculties, all these things, it's irrelevant in the eyes of God.
Well said.
And
St. Pope Felix III said it way back before you had hair on your head in 475 AD, Father. He said, not to oppose error is to approve it. Not to defend truth is to suppress it. And indeed, to neglect to confound evil men when we can do it is no less a sin than to encourage them. You're repeating an axiom that we have to speak the truth.
Yeah, and I read an article recently on John Dagger. He was the Archbishop of New York, real grizzled, in the like 1920s.
Oh, yeah, way before.
The Protestants called him John Dagger.
I do remember that.
Yeah, there's a new article that some blogger wrote. I can't remember the name of the blogger, but it's very, very good. And he said something in there that really dropped my heart.
Hold on. This is a teaser. We got 20 seconds. We got to get to the break.
Okay, there's a teaser.
John Dagger?
John Dagger.
Yep. Bishop John Dagger got a quote when we come back here at the Terry and Jesse Show.
I know the story. It's a powerful story what Father's going to share.
You won't want to miss it. Come back when we come back on Terry and Jesse Show. Thanks again for listening. We'll be right back with much more to inspire you.
An exciting story for you to listen to, the story of John Pridmore. John Pridmore was a hitman for the gangs in East London.
I met some guys who seemed to have everything that I thought would make you happy. So I started working for these people. So to my shame, I was involved in vicious crime of all sorts.
He collected debts for the gangs. And if people didn't pay their debts, it was his job to kill them.
And as I drove home that night, I thought, what have I become that I could kill someone and not even care?
He was in the elevator on his way up to the 17th floor, and there was a 17-year-old young man in the elevator with him. Suddenly, this young man looked John right in the eye, and he said, Jesus loves you.
And I said the first prayer I'd ever said. I said, up to now, all I've done is take from you, God. Now I want to give.
Within a year, by the grace of God, John was able to get out of the gang and be freed from this road to hell that he had been walking on. Go to Virgin Most Powerful YouTube channel and listen to this story today.
This is Terry Barber. I want to invite you to take advantage of having your funeral or your loved one's funeral at the Sacred Heart Chapel in downtown Covina. It's a 115-year-old church, beautiful chapel. And all you got to do is call me at 661-972-7872, and I'll personally make the arrangements with your mortuary to have your funeral or your loved one's funeral here at Sacred Heart Chapel. You won't regret it. 661-972-7872. God love you.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
CIA, Catholics in Action, we're back. Terry.
I'm excited. Father, you've got a great story to tell us.
All right, I'll make this quick. So there was a Irish Archbishop of New York.
Yeah.
And he came over. Yeah, John Dagger. Because it looked, you know, bishops, they sign a cross. His was long, so the Protestant said he looked like Dagger John. Came over with the potato famine. And yeah. William Briggs, great writer, writes, Hughes got his nickname for two reasons. In the typical Catholic fashion of the day, he put a cross before his name when he signed something. Some people saw the shape he intended. Others imagined it differently. Here, and it's got a link, look at the picture of the book cover for a clue of what I mean. Dagger John got his reputation for his willingness to confront the matter of church arson by the nativist Protestant neighbors of the day. He announced, get this is in New York City. He announced that when the next Catholic church was burned, it would be followed by 10 Protestant ones. And what do you know? The burning stopped. Shazam, amazing what a little backbone can do.
Wow.
In this same article, this really sunk my heart because this ties what you were talking about 3 minutes ago. He points out that when we had all of England drop the Catholic faith for Protestantism in the 16th century,
yes,
that there were many, many, many laymen who were martyred and a smaller amount of priests martyred and only one bishop, yeah. Bishop St. John Fisher. You know, and I was real depressed when I read that and the whole thing to see that it's mostly lay people who were martyred, only one bishop. So in some sense, the more things change, the more they stay the same, that we sure. can't really brace for probably a ton of people stand up for the right thing at the Amazon Synod.
So what's the message for us listeners here, Father? What inspirational message would you give? I mean,
yeah.
what are we talking about? Holiness? Right
well,
now?
This is the thing, is that if bishops can fall away and not speak up against Henry VIII,
right.
we might expect that from the current situation.
Yeah.
But who are the saints and martyrs who went to the highest levels of glory in heaven of 16th century England? The ones who went above the current flow of things. The ones who said, you know what?
Didn't compromise.
Didn't compromise. Even if those above me compromise, I'm not going to compromise. And the ones who followed those bishops probably went to hell. And the ones who decided to stick with the magisterium as it's always been taught went to heaven.
Well
Pretty
said.
Basic.
I think that makes sense to me, Father.
Let me share a powerful scripture. I think this was Trump's anything that we can say regarding our responsibility to speak the truth. Because this comes from God's word, and there's no higher authority than God's word.
That's right. It's the highest.
This is more than a papal encyclical, yep. some apostolic
exhortation. I always say that. It's right.
Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. Mm-hmm. This is God speaking, not a pope.
Not Jesse
not a
Romero.
Bishop. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, God is saying, you better tell people that when they're wrong, and if you don't, that sin is going to be on your soul on Judgment Day. I wish bishops would read this over and Ezekiel chapter 3 and Ezekiel chapter 33, because if you give them papal encyclical, they'll dismiss it. Mm. Oh, Pope Felix III, they don't care what he says. They don't care. Maybe they may care what God says. Maybe they still may believe in the Bible.
I'm hoping.
But Michael Matt, the publisher of The Remnant, here's what he said this weekend. He's another lay Catholic who was there. He said, at the Pan Amazon Synod, Will we see the church abandon the divine commission to convert and baptize all nations? Will the Vatican bless and approve a certain indigenous theology whose animating principle is essentially pagan? Will the church teach that pagan cultures themselves are of God? He says, now we face a synod of bishops that promises to embrace an indigenous theology that would essentially abandon the church's missionary effort altogether while embracing an eco-theology that would send forth missionaries of climate change to teach all nations to listen to the cry of Mother Earth. And he ends, please God, may this not come to pass, for if it does, it will surely represent the Catholic Church's formal surrender to the world and to the Spirit, not just of the age, but also of the jungle. Wow, that's a mouthful right there.
It is. Before I say it, I've got a comment.
No, go for it.
My comment is this, that we know for the last 54 years, there's been evangelization, so to speak. The Franciscans had a mission in that Brazilian area of the Amazon. And in those 54 years, they didn't convert one native to the Catholic faith. And when they asked, well, what are you doing? Oh, we accompany them. We don't share the gospel of, you know, Jesus Christ that we used to share to, you know, evangelize people or introduce them to the person of Jesus. We just wanted to be their friends.
Yeah, I didn't know they were Franciscans, but I did know of an order. It was their Franciscan.
Yes.
No, and I know he bragged about the fact they didn't have one baptism in 50
years. They bragged about it. Yeah.
That's the kind of that's not evangelization, yeah, man.
And if you look in the working document, it actually used the words God, Mother, Creator.
Oh, yeah, that was sad.
I mean, this is pagan terminology. This isn't a pagan feel. There's actually pagan vocabulary. There were many things that led up to this that had a pagan feel. Well, what's amazing is the top is popped on this, that this is actually now using the Instrumentorium and Laboris fully open pagan literature. And you know, Jesse, you mentioned earlier when we were just starting the Fatima line about how the final battle will be marriage and sex.
Family.
And so it's like, well, what does paganism have to do with that? When we were at commercial break, I looked up this quote. It's from Wisdom Literature. You mentioned the Word of God is the highest. Listen to this. Wisdom 14:12. Says this. Oh, my Evernote just restarted.
You just mentioned it.
Yep. For the beginning of fornication is the making of idols. Wisdom 14:12. Listen to that again. Mm. For the beginning of fornication is the making of idols. So we actually saw a video. I put this on my Twitter of all these people bowing down.
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
Before an idol in the Vatican Gardens.
Yeah, we saw it.
In the Vatican Gardens. Yeah. And so that's what this has to do with it. Is sex cults. And fertility cults are always tied with paganism. So this is introducing old school Baal Moloch type
stick
into the Vatican at this point. This isn't small, like I said to you last night. This isn't like, oh, they want to take away Latin Mass's delicate love of Latin and lace and fingers and stuff. We're talking an injection of pagan cult into Vatican documents.
Wow, sick.
You know, and again, going to the Word of God, I think we always have to make our case from God's Word.
Yep.
Scripture is very clear about paganism and where it comes from. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20, he says, no, I imply that what pagan sacrifice they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be partners with demons. It also says virtually the same thing in Psalm 96, verse 5, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 17. It says that pagan religions sacrifice to demons. It says this three times in the Bible that I've been able to find. I'm sure it says it many other times. And what I see this weekend, it should trouble any Catholic that loves the Holy Mother Church.
Absolutely, and there's more to be said, but I have to just digress just a little bit backwards here, and that is, we all know that a lot of this, you know, evilness that's going on in the church was exposed by Archbishop Vigano, okay? He exposed it about the McCarrick, former Cardinal McCarrick. But I have to say to Father and to you, Jesse, and to our listeners, I think that we need to keep the pressure on the Holy See to answer the questions from the dubia, so that McCarrick's cronies, and I'll give you an example, who knew about McCarrick? And if they did know about it, they need to be fired. They need to be removed. But what's going on is it's being stonewalled. And I'll give you an example. There's a bishop called, his name is DiMarzio. He was chosen in 1996 to be the auxiliary bishop of Washington, D.C. under Theodore McCarrick. And here's the thing that I just find terrible, okay? I'm being honest with everybody. We need to pray hard for this. McCarrick's crony now, he's the head Vatican investigation in the Buffalo Diocese for all the corruption and homosexuality that's going on with there. I'm going to make the statement, and this is conjecture on me. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I believe that the reason the investigation on McCarrick hasn't been put forth is because when it comes about who knew McCarrick, all these crony guys that are in big Vatican positions are going to be exposed, so they can't do that. And so what's happening is all of these guys that I think had some involvement with homosexuality and with McCarrick and all the corruption are running highest levels of the church. And I'm going to go on record right now and say, when this gets exposed, I think I'm going to be proven right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Father. Go ahead, tell me.
Yeah, I think to keep my faculties alive, I'm going to have to pass the mic to Jesse on this one and not.
But I can't get my faculties.
I'm serious, though. No, I'm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I need to pass the mic.
Jesse, am I wrong or right on that, buddy? I'm just using logic here, bro.
No, this is common sense Catholicism here, Terry.
Good job.
This McCarrick is the linchpin to all of this. Once you pull that string,
yes,
we're going to see the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain.
You got it.
And this is why he's being housed somewhere in Kansas. And they're trying to say, hey, nothing to see here, nothing to look at. He's been defrocked, and he's living in a very nice place
near a school.
I've been there.
Yeah, me too. Cathedral of the Plains.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there like a month before he arrived. They didn't say nobody knew it.
Yeah, sweet digs.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, I don't mean to make a big deal about it, other than that this corruption needs to be exposed and the cancer needs to be exposed. Like I said, what Saint Pope Gregory the Great said, it's better that this scandal be exposed than for the truth to be suppressed. And right now, I'm of the opinion as a layman that the truth is being suppressed.
And see, this ties again the whole thing about fornication being the beginning of idolatry.
Well said.
It's no wonder that we have all these sex scandals connected to pagan idols being introduced.
Does that make sense, Rich? Or just
that makes sense from scripture.
Yeah, it's scriptural.
Remember, just let's go back to, it's in the book of Genesis, the golden calf.
Yes.
As they were worshiping this Egyptian goddess, Apis, the bull god Apis, the Bible tells us that they were, in English, it says that they were, dancing and making merry. Hebrew word actually says that they were involved in orgies.
That's right.
The Hebrew's a lot stronger. The English is watered down.
Mm-hmm.
So there we see sexual perversion right in Scripture that's always aligned with paganism. Let me just mention one more person that was there, Jose Ureta. He said that about the working document, Instrumentum Laboris, he says, this is Neo-Lutheranism will have defeated the Council of Trent.
Yeah.
He says, this new ecclesiastic structure based on a non-ministerial and non-hierarchical priesthood will no longer be the Catholic Church.
Wow.
We've got people on hold. We'll be right back with the Terry and Jesse Show. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. It's a very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This show's rated R, righteous, respectful, and rejuvenating.
Amen, brother.
We've got Lou calling from Northern California.
Actually, Lou's not on. Lou's not on now.
Lou's not on now. But let me just mention what Taylor Marshall said, and we'll go back to Father.
Because that's another one.
Taylor Marshall said this weekend, he goes that the Amazonian Synod, he goes, it's an attack on the supernatural faith, miracles, divine revelation, and upon the origin of our creation. God's identity of male and female, the institution of human matrimony, and the natural law precepts to the fruitful and multiply within marriage. Moreover, it is the resurrection of paganism that you might become gods. Terry?
Well said. That's exactly. And Taylor Marshall nailed it. And if I would encourage people to read his book on infiltration, if you haven't read it. Isn't that a fair book to read?
Yeah, and it helps you understand that this plan, this is the tip of the iceberg. The Amazon Synod is the tip of the iceberg that began in the 1860s with the Freemasons trying to take this over. So it kind of makes you understand how long they had patience to really get this in there. This isn't just a fluke. The Amazon Synod is not just a fluke where there's some confusing theologians and everything is going to get straightened out. This has been in the making for 150 years.
Wow. And I want to encourage our listeners to get the book, The Day Is Now Far Spent. That's Cardinal Seurat's book. And on the 26th of October, I'm going to have Father Joe Fessio, the publisher of Ignatius Press, talk about the book, because it gave me great inspiration to reading that book to help me deal with the crisis in the church. So I don't want you to leave this show ever without being uplifted and knowing that we as lay people make a difference. And remember what Our Lady said at Fatima. She said, souls are going to hell because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices for. So, I mean, this is what we just finished, a 9-day novena at our chapel, 1 hour before the Blessed Sacrament, for 9 straight days, praying for our leaders in our church that they'll be faithful to the Master, Jesus Christ.
Terry, Father's going to have specific expertise on this question because he's a celibate priest.
That's right.
So I want to ask him, Jean Smith, she's one of the presenters this week, and she said this, and I want Father's take on this because this has to do with priestly
celibacy. She's in Rome?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She said, among the most obviously threatening innovations that are being introduced by the upcoming Amazon Synod is the promotion of some form of ordained ministry for women. She warned that the Indian theology, which the Synod will promote, demands the ordination of women as ministers. She says, it is within the logic of traditional indigenous spirituality that is paganism, or if you want to take it a bit further, idolatry. So, Father, what's the problem with the West or modern men wanting ministerial priestesses and wanting married men to be ordained into the Latin Rite?
Yeah, Dr. Brand Petrie has a really interesting insight that a lot of times that people used to say that there were only Jewish priests in the Old Testament because the Jews were misogynistic and they didn't actually value these people very high. But if you look at the surrounding pagan tribes that all had female priestesses, these were also the cultures that would kill girls just for being girls, have sex cults, places that never, ever treated women as well as the Jews did, right? So it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the transcendent and the immanent. I'll get through all this theology really quick. Man is transcendent, woman is immanent. If you look at the teaching of St. Paul, the difference between man and woman isn't strength and weakness, all right? The main difference between man and woman is transcendence and immanence. Transcendence means that which is beyond, that God is beyond us. Mm-hmm. Immanence means right here, right now, with us. And so if you think about it, like if one of you guys, if your kid got hurt in the street, okay, maybe your five-year-old gets hurt in the street, your wife is going to be super comforting and say, hey, and you might say, hey, I mean, playing in the street, this could be just like a bellwether of a bigger injuries if you keep playing in traffic. Like a man is supposed to have a transcendent view of things, right? And both are necessary in family life. It doesn't mean man's smarter and woman's more compassionate.
Different roles.
Just different roles, right? Well, when we look at the introduction of female priestesses, this is, again, essentially to collapse the order of grace into the order of nature to say there is nothing transcendent. And that's why Dr. Marshall essentially said there that this is the collapsing of the supernatural so that there's nothing natural left anymore. But probably more nefarious and all that, and you mentioned these quotes, Psalm 94, Psalm 95 says, the gods of the nations are demons. Even before we get to any sacrificing to them, just to honor the gods of these others is demons. So it's essentially the introduction of demonology into this. I'm not saying women are demons, but when we introduce something that doesn't have female clergy into this, it's essentially introducing something satanic. And one of the things that we have to remember in making women ordained or whatever else is that when demonology is introduced, this will be introduced into the hearts of many people and essentially turn Catholics to be satanic if we accept this. So this could schism the church.
Yep. Well, no, I'm, of course. Jesse, your thoughts?
Yeah. Psalm 96, verse 5. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The Douay Rheims says, for the gods of all the peoples are demons.
Yes.
So, and that's in Psalm 95 in the Douay Rheims. I see what's happening here is, you know, Terry's always mentioning this, that the world is influencing the church more than the church is influencing the world. And that's the danger here. And so what we need right now, we need heroes and saints in the Catholic Church. We need priests like you, Father, that are willing to put it on the line.
We have to
go out there to an abortion clinic.
We have to
tell the women, hey, I'm here. I'm a priest. I'm here to hear your confession. And if it means getting arrested, so be it. That's the type of heroism we need right now in the Catholic Church.
And let me give you one example. I'm going to embarrass Father, but it's okay. I went to breakfast with him this morning. He gives out miraculous medals. St. Maximian Kolbe called them silver bullets, right? But what Father taught me, and I hope he can teach you this, don't give out medals like we do, just a medal. Put it on a chain.
I've learned that, yeah.
Yes. And what happened today at breakfast when the man that was serving us? Because, I mean, it's powerful. We don't know his name, but just what happened?
Yeah, I said that at the 1-2 hours ago, but I'll say it again, that he was, he came up and he had a, you know, he had a tattoo. Of kind of a
an anchor.
And I said, you know what the early Christians saw the anchor as? And he said, no, what? I said, hope. And he hesitated for a second. Then he told us how he had struggled with if he should even be alive. And his best friend had asked him to get this tattoo with him to be anchored, to know that he's not going to essentially commit suicide. And then I explained, this is the Christian hope. This is the symbol of Christian hope. And I said, if I gave you a miraculous medal, I said, here's a miraculous medal. Jesus promised so many graces through Mary's hands for anybody who wears it. If I gave this to you and I had it with the chain.
He asked the question, would you wear it?
Would you wear it? And he got teary-eyed and he's like, yeah, I would wear it. And he put it on and he was so thankful. So thankful.
Absolutely. And Jesse, every time we have a show, we're now talking about five stones for solutions. All these problems, what can we as lay Catholics do? Can we talk about the five stones?
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Luis Sandoval just texted me right now. He's a friend of the show and he's listening to us. He says this, and it's a challenge to the bishops. He says, imagine if I, as a physician, withheld the approved treatment to cure my patient's cancer. Sure, there might be some side effects, but ultimately there is a cure. Why would our bishops withhold the truth of Christ, which is the cure for our souls? So that's a challenge from Dr. Luis Sandoval.
And he will be at our spiritual warfare conference, Dr. Sandoval, on the 11th of January, along with Jesse Romero. If you haven't registered, go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call us at 877-526-2151. Jess.
We got another caller.
Oh, go ahead.
Dr. Ed Mazza, I think Dr. Ed.
No, that's the next show.
Oh, sorry about that.
Jesse, give us the five stones that we can do as lay Catholics. What do we need to do to help Holy Mother, the Church?
Well, from that famous story, David and Goliath in the book of Samuel, I think it's chapter 16.
Yeah.
We see David, he took down an incredible undefeated warrior by the name of Goliath with five stones. So as Catholics, I think we need 5 stones today. My take, if we're going to live in the state of grace, you need to be armored up. You need to have the 5 stones of David.
Amen.
And so what are they? Here's what I would say.
Yep.
Number one, pray the rosary every day from your heart.
Or don't
no
listen.
Excuses. Don't make any excuses. I'm tired. I can't find. Man up. Knock it off.
Yep.
Quit acting like an effeminate man. Start praying the rosary, period. Make no excuse. Did you eat today? Did you use the toilet? Well, pray the rosary today. Find 15 minutes. Number two, go to Mass as often as possible. Sunday without fail. Holy days of obligation without fail. If you can get to daily Mass, better. And if you can't, stop by and visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Get on your knees and beg Him to restore the church to holiness. The third stone, read the Holy Bible every day. Most of you have an iPhone. You can get the daily Mass readings in the Novus Ordo Mass and probably even the old rite.
Yep.
In your iPhone, read the daily Mass readings every single day. It takes 5 to 7 minutes. Number four, let's go back to penances, okay?
Yeah,
even in 1983, the Code of Canon Law says we should be doing penance every Friday.
That's right.
Penance every single Friday. Everybody out there for Holy Mother Church. Go abstinence, fasting. So what if it's not Lent? Start offering penances throughout the week. Do the rosary on your knees. Okay, take a cold shower. And number five, the fifth stone, I would say, I'll quote three giants. St. John Paul II, St. Padre Pio, Venerable Fulton Sheen says, lay Catholics, here's minimum, monthly confession. That's minimum, okay? Now, if you need to go more, as you got mortal sin every week or every other day, you're going to have to go a lot more often.
Yep.
But minimum, those are the five stones, Terry.
Absolutely. And I'm going to add something just because I just watched Cardinal Mueller's movie, 22 minutes long only, A Manifesto of Faith. Every single person, I'm going to put it on our website to have a link for it, because this is basic catechism teachings, but it's all in regards to the crisis of the church and what the perennial teachings of the church are. And I want to give this final advice and then ask Father for a blessing too. And that is, always, you have a question about the faith, go to what the church has always taught, the perennial teachings of the church, and you'll be in good shape. Father, any other advice to the lay people?
Yeah, I think one thing to be careful with this Amazon Synod is what I call the Roe versus Wade safe, rare, and legal trick of the devil. A lot of times how the devil gets his hoof, we talked in the last one, his hoof comes in the door not with anything big. So if we see something about women ordinations, it's going to have the title safe, rare, and legal. Satan loves to kind of assuage our conscience, kind of pacify us and be like, we're not going to make this the norm of the church.
Right.
But it's just in certain circumstances of emergencies, we're going to have this. You can have, ready for a blessing, better run. Okay, Dominus vobiscum.
Ecum spiritus.
Benedictio Domine potentis partis filii et spiritus sancti descendit super vos et mani et semper. Amen.
Father Dave, we hope to have you more here at Virgin Most Powerful. How can people contact you through internet?
Yeah, just check out my blog and podcast, Padre Peregrino.
And Jesse, I got to ask you, brother, what state should we be living in, brother?
State of grace. Don't live in a state of mortal sin. If you live in a state of mortal sin, get the hell out of there.
Yep.
Don't even drive your car by there. Don't spend the weekend there. Don't even pass by there.
Amen.
Get out of there ASAP. Jump into the confessional box. Get your soul. Get your soul in the confessional box and get right with God and stay right with God. We don't know when your last breath is. You're going to take your last breath.
Nope, that's a fact.
Amen.
I want to thank all those who have been following us here at Virgin Most Powerful. We're almost 2 years old, and it's because of you we can broadcast material like this today. If you'd like to be a monthly donor, call us at 877-526-2151, or you can do it right online at virginmostpowerfulradio.org. May God richly bless you, and full sheen ahead here at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests, for thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.